who's on video. But anyway, number of people came to know the Lord as Savior that night. Number stood up forward, and then the number of people I heard went into the prayer rooms at the end. So rejoicing that and hope that God's work continues on from that meeting forward and be able to see what God's, the fruit of what it says, as well as Francis Chan spoke and Tyler Ward and I keep forgetting that first group singing. Anyway, that group. And it was a good time of fellowship and a great time at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. I didn't realize it was 72 years old there until they had the big sign that says they were there for 72 years. And in fact, actually, what was ironic was that there's walls on the hallway. I don't know if some of you were there and saw a lot of pictures of the past, you know, and I was going like, I remember all these people, which kind of made me sound a little old because a lot of the young people that were there probably weren't even born yet when they showed some of those pictures. And, you know, for instance, like I never knew Neil Diamond had a packed house, sold out house at that time. Some of us know who Neil Diamond is. Some of you are saying, who is Neil Diamond? Don't worry about it, okay? But anyway, last week I had the privilege of sharing with you about the importance of being a part of a church body and the importance of being a part of God's family. That's what a church is. Church is part of family. It's a part of people. And last Sunday, someone came up to me and said, Pastor Darren, I appreciate what you said. And I said, what's that? Because I said a lot of things. And they said, that Pastor Darren, I appreciate that you said that we're not a perfect church. And I said, because we are not. And they're right. We are not. We are not a perfect church. In fact, actually, this church building, though it's nice, though it keeps the water and the nice air here, it's not the church. We are the church. People are the church. We can take up all of us and go to another location, and we're still the church. There's no other differences. We are the church, the people are. And we are not perfect. Surprised? No, shouldn't be, because we aren't perfect. We won't be perfect until we get to the other side into heaven. But today, we are imperfect. And so that's why we're not perfect today. And we all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. But the purpose of us being here this morning is not because we perform something incredible, that we achieve something that's spectacular, that we're able to say that we are here at Home of Christ Church in Saratoga. It was because of what God has done for us. That is what it is. It's not what we've done, it's what God has done. And that's, remember, we talked about the oneness of a church, and we are one. We are a family. We are part of God's family. One of my friends told me that, do you realize that in God's family there's no grandchildren? We are all children of God. And that is a beautiful thing. And in fact, do I have it up there? No, I don't? Okay. Are we on? Okay. Is that we need to belong to a fellowship. Now, fellowship basically, in general terms, is connecting with other people. Fellowshipping with God is fellowshipping or connecting with God. So you and I need to belong to a fellowship, whether it's a small group or a life stage fellowship group, whatever it is, we need to be a part of it. And one of the things that God wants us to understand, and through, we're going to be looking at three passages real briefly this morning, because we're going to be getting out a little bit early this morning for a special for the Chinese service. So I won't be speaking too long this morning. But the whole point is that, but if I do, Paul, let me know, okay? All right. I don't know which time to follow, so don't worry. Okay, so the whole point is that God wants us, first of all, to connect with Him. That's the first and foremost thing in life. Connect with God, have fellowship with God, spend time with God. And then, second of all, God wants you, at least for the most part, to connect with your brothers and sisters in Christ or in a church family. We talked about the universal church last time and the local church, and we're talking about this one is a local church. This one we're getting a little more intimate. Get in connection with people in your church. Have a fellowship. Because someone said this years ago, a friend of mine, he said, if we can't get along with our Christian brothers and sisters here on earth now, We're going to have a rough time because we're going to be spending eternity with our brothers and sister in Christ. So we better start getting to know them and get friendly and work through all the differences and accept the differences and work with one another so that we could fellowship with one another. And that's what God wants us to do. So this morning, we're going to be looking at three things this morning. But one of the things we want to also remember is that when we look at scriptures, we find that God is love. And we'll be discussing more about that in the coming weeks because we're going to be going through, well, in fact, actually, the Chinese congregation and the English, so this is the whole church, we'll be going through a series on love. And we'll be postponing a little bit of my study to break away because we're doing this as a whole church studying on love. But we'll be looking more a little bit later on. But just give you a kind of brief things that God is love. According to 1 John, it tells us God is love. We are to love because we are part of God's children. Okay? And if we're part of God's family, we are to love one another because we are part of God's family. And fellowship is learning about loving God and loving people. Connecting with God, connecting with people. And mainly I'm focusing on the people that are in this room today and the ones who come to this church. Do we connect with them? Do we love them in the Lord? And that's the key that we're going to be talking about a little bit today. And the Bible, I appreciate the Bible because it not only gives you a command to tell you love others, but it gives you, shows you what ways we can do to love others and how to do things. I appreciate it because when God says something, He also wants to tell us, when He tells us to do something, He shows us through His word how to do it and gives us a lot of examples, which we don't have time to look at this morning, but we will be in times going in the weeks ahead. But it's so important that we take some of the practical things God tells us and to use it and apply it and to learn to love one another, to communicate, to connect, whatever word you want to use, to fellowship, okay? So the whole point is that that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And the key thing is that God is love. One of the joys of a parent is to see your children get along with each other. You don't like seeing them fight. It brings havoc in the house. But when your children love one another, care for one another, hang out with one another, be goofy with one another, which is probably the normal thing of siblings, is to be able, you know, it brings joy to a family. It brings parents to say, oh, everything's calm and cool and great and wonderful and we're so glad. And we should be that way because God is our Heavenly Father and He wants us to get along. He wants us to fellowship with one another, to spend time with one another, to connect with one another. So we'll be looking at three things here this morning and He wants us to practice here on earth because if we don't know how to do it here on earth, brother, we're going to have a little bit of a hard time when we get to heaven because we're going to be doing that for all eternity. So three things here this morning. Oh, that's right, I got to use this. Okay, here we go. So choose to belong to a fellowship, whether it's, like I said, a small group or a large or a life stage fellowship, which is like for our church here, a youth group, and you're hanging out with the youth, okay? Adults, we have the married couples, the three different ones during the month. So hang on with that. So a few things here, and you can follow along your outline. I hope you received an outline here. Everyone received one? If you didn't receive one, please raise your hand. Okay, we have a few up here. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it. And three things we want to look at here on why God wants us to belong to a fellowship in a local church, okay? And the first one we find is this, is that we are made, as Christians, as believers, we are made to love others. We are made to love others. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16 says this. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Excuse me. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality, and bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited. Now, we can say a lot of stuff about this in this passage, but I'm not going to do that this morning because of time. But love, first of all, must be sincere, according to Paul in verse 9. That means honesty. But it's unfortunate that in our society today, love is very nebulous. One example, people say that I love that person, but a lot of times they use it as a motive because they may want something from that other person, or they want something from that person. And they say, well, I love that person because of what I can get from it, what it satisfies me. And that's what one example of what the world says the love is, because it's very nebulous. But in the New Testament, the word love, obviously there's three different words that talks about love, and we'll talk about that later. But love is not blurry. It's not shifty. It's very concise. It's very practical. It's very straightforward, and it's normal. It's like one commentator put it. He says that love, in the scriptures, love is the meat and potatoes of the Christian life. And I know that I'm probably making some of you hungry by saying that, but that's okay. But love, and I believe the commentator is talking about, is that it's the foundation of everything we do, because love is not about for us. It's about what we could do for other people. The world, love is selfish. But in our case, as Christians, New Testament, love is making sure someone else gets what they need, making sure that that other person is taken care of, not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of other people. That's the key in scriptural love. And one of the things that God wants us to do is share that kind of love to the Christian community that we are a part of. And for some of us who hear and come and claim, come on a weekly basis and makes this their spiritual home, this is the place where we need to share our Christian love with other people. In this portion of scripture, we find that Paul provides us with a checklist. And it's this checklist that Paul is giving in this passage is not for us to measure how others perform for us or what we see they do, but it's a checklist for us to evaluate, are we fulfilling these things? And I just want to share with you this list very quickly. You don't have to write it down, but the first one is, do you show real devotion to other people? Are you committed to helping other people when in need? Second, I honor others and am eager for their advancement than my own. Are you ready to help encourage other people, especially in their spiritual growth? I want the other person to grow spiritually. As a parent, we always want our children to be better and successful and better than what we were. I know my father and mother used to always say that we want you to be better than what we were. My father did not graduate from college until way later on in life. And when I graduated high school, he says, you're going to college no matter what. And I did. And then, of course, then I got my master's. And then so forth and so on. But the whole point about it was that my dad wanted me to be better than what he was. And many times my wife and I feel the same way. We want our children to be better than what we were or are. And the whole point about it is that as Christians, we need to be encouraging someone else to be better than who they are or better than what we are so that they can be stronger and whatever. So we want to think of that. Is that I want to share with others when they are in need. If we hear a need, we need to help them. Be willing to help and encourage. Fourth, I welcome others in my residence, my home, apartment, our condo, etc., into my life. You're willing to say, it's okay. Come on. Another one, I rejoice with those who rejoice. Man, you know? Someone's graduating from high school? Yeah. Someone's playing in sports and their team won? Yeah, let's rejoice with them, you know? And then also, too, the other side, we need to mourn with those who mourn. That, you know, if there's sadness, you know, we need to be there for them. If someone has someone who's ill or they lost a loved one, we need to be there for them and be there as a comfort. We need to also live in harmony with one another. You know, there's a times where we can learn to agree to disagree, and that's okay. As long as we major in our Christian love and our Christian understanding of who's the one who brought us here Jesus Christ. Everything that focuses on the scriptures and what God says, we need to agree on. There may be other things we may have to disagree on, and that's okay. Rap music is not one of my favorite musics, but that's okay. If you like it, go for it, okay? If some of you like the color brown, great. I'm not really fond of brown, but that's okay. You can stay with brown. Some of you like long hair, fine. Some can't grow it like some of us, but it's okay. But the whole point about it is that we may be different, and it's okay, okay? I've always wanted to grow a beard, but I don't know why. It never happens. Anyway, but another one is that I associate as an equal with those who are socially, or in other words, beneath me. Listen, remember, when we think about God's family, there's no one above others. The only one that's above us is Jesus Christ. We're all equal. We're on level footing with God. So it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what status you are. We are all equal with God. So it doesn't matter how we dress or what age we are or what level position we are at work or what grade we are in school. We're all equal before God. No one is over another. Okay? Yeah, we may have different roles. Okay? Different responsibilities and roles, but that doesn't mean that we are better than another person. Okay? So just remember that. So these are just a few things, and other things we can go about in defining what love is, like in 1 Corinthians 13, which we will be looking at starting next week for those of you who are going to be with us next week. But we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 13. But the passage right here that we're looking at in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, is the foundation of Christian love. It helps us to understand how to love other people. And that's the beauty of it. God could say, okay, go love one another, and never show us how. You know, a lot of times, for many of us, how we love people is by example of someone who's older than us. Most of the time, it's our parents. And hopefully, you know, as human parents, we did our best to show what love really is by caring enough. Sometimes parents fail. But, you know, that's why here at a church, we should be an example of that love for those who are younger, to show with them what is really love about, what is godly love, what is spiritual love, what is the love God wants us to have. We need to have that kind of love here at this church. And it's key. So whatever group you is, and I hope that in the small groups and in the life stage, or like the youth fellowship, you know, I hope that we share our Christian love with one another, our care for one another. Not just, man, what can I get from that other person? But how we can help someone else and express that love. Second of all, we are made to walk together with others. We are made to walk together with others. Proverbs chapter 27, okay? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, 9, and 10, and verse 17. It reads this, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense brings joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Oh, thanks, Howard. Gotta get used to this. Three things here that I find, and one of the things is this. The first one here is that we need to be courageous friends. We need to be courageous friends. We can cite many illustrations of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, but none, I believe, compares to the example of Jesus. Because remember, during the time in Matthew chapter 23, and especially in the New American Standard Version, seven times Jesus tells the Pharisees, cuts straight to the heart and says, "Woe to you." He says, "Listen to you." Okay? And it rang out, it was like an arrow going right to the target, saying, "Hey, listen, guys, wake up." All right? A good friend, a trusted friend, is someone who will tell it straight. When you need something or when they see something that you really need to do and correct, a true friend will help you. A true friend should be saying things. That's key. Because those who are an enemy, or I wouldn't even say an enemy, just acquaintance, they're not going to say anything. They're not going to say anything if you've got a stain on your shirt. They're not going to say anything if your hair looks bad or you stink. Okay? But a true friend will take you aside and says, hey, you got something in your hair. Hey, you got something between your teeth. True friends would do that. And we do that out of, now don't do it saying, hey, you've got something between your teeth, you need to fix it. No, we don't do that. But as friends, we take them aside and say, hey, you know, you may want to do this. Okay? And those are things as a good friend, a courageous friend will tell. That's like what verse 6 is. I mean, in fact, actually, what was the most deceitful kiss in the Bible? Because people accumulate kissing as love, okay? That's in a marriage love, and we can talk about it later on, but the most deceiving kiss in all Bible is Judas, right? When he kissed Jesus, right, and told him, oh, you're the Messiah. And actually, that kiss was basically showing what? To lead him away. So we can go into a lot of stories, but because the time won't allow me to. The second one here is a helpful friend, okay? Advice is from a friend is pleasant, just as perfume and incense brings joy to people and smell and sweetness and everything like that. And one of the things is that having friends, we know that they can help us. When we have a relationship with our family and our friends, they're there to help us. They're companions. They're there to walk us through things in life. And even though we may be reluctant, but many times they see things that we may not see. And sometimes we ourselves are blinded, but our friends can help us to see those things. Our parents or loved ones, someone we love, we think very highly of, they can guide us. There are a number of friends and people that I have that I take their advice, their suggestions, their comments, even their criticism very heavily because I trust them. Because I know that they're not saying it to get back at me. Well, most of the time. But anyway, but I know that they do that for my purpose. And so, so that, you know, they're willing to go the distance with you, okay? And then third, we see an honest friend, okay? An honest friend. You know, iron files sharpens an iron blade. You ever done that before? Have you ever used an iron file? Am I talking too late days? Everyone just uses those jujitsu knives and they just send it away and get it resharpened and brought back to them? Anyway, whatever. But in the old days, or the other days, we used to put a knife there and used to have file. One of the first things my dad taught me when I was a youngster was that, well, son, when you have a tool such as an axe, such as a knife for cutting weeds and bushes and stuff, you need to have sharp tools. And I remember the first thing he did was taking one of these. It was some kind of like a machete, but it really wasn't a machete. I don't know if he would have trusted me with a machete at that time. But anyway, but I remember we put it on the vise and he'd give me the file and teach me how to file it. Now, of course, eating knives and cooking knives, he used stone. But then with the cutting blades and the axes, we used to be taught how to do it with a file. And iron sharpens iron. And that's how you made your tools sharp. Well, that's what it should be in a friend. A friend should be able to help you to grow stronger, to build you up. And as a church family, we should be doing that with one another, making sure that, hey, how are you doing in your quiet times? How are you doing in prayer? How are you doing with your walk with God? Maybe you may need somebody to help you walk with you and say, hey, you know, I need someone to encourage me. You know, hey, a lot of you guys have text messaging on phones. You have email. You have cell phones, okay? I remember talking to a twin brothers, and they said that, you know, one of the things that I appreciate my other brother, because they were blessed, they had separate rooms, that, you know, when it was time to wake up for school, he would wake me an hour early so we can have devotions together. And if it wasn't for my twin brother, I wouldn't have grown in my spiritual walk. You see, these are things that we need to be doing, to be honest, okay? And one of the things I've always been taught was that you never have enough friends in this world. And God has given us a church body and a universal church, which is in the all the Christians in the world. And we have those, and we should be able to be true friends. And the test of a true friend is the willing to challenge you on both sides, your mental, physical, all those other sides, but also too, to challenge you in your spiritual walk so that you can help you to grow in your faith. One of the things I have the privilege, as I mentioned a number of times, is that my father was in the United States Marine Corps for 32 years. And right now, it's the generation where they're all getting older and some of them are passing on and things like that. But one of the things that I've had the privilege, at least I see it as a privilege, is that many of them my dad served, they're now all they're passing away. And because I'm still friends with a lot of them and a lot of their kids, we were known as brats. Those are military kids, for some of you who don't know that. Military kids were known as brats. Marine Corps were probably the most brats, but anyway, that's another story. Kavika, you're not here? Okay. Anyway, so, but the whole thing about it was that I've had the privilege of doing a few of their funerals. And some of us said that we want Darren, Don Lim's son, to do it for us. I know one of them said, we want, the daughter says, we want you, Darren, to do it because we know that if we had a guest minister or someone, they couldn't even say our last name. But we know you do. And I almost messed it up. But anyway, but the whole point about it was that they trusted me and because I was my father's friend. And they were able to come to me and talk to me and let me to help them whatever I can. And I know that there are other ones that I know that I can go to that I can ask for help. And their kids would help me because we hung around and did all kinds of wild things. But anyway, that's beside the point. But the whole point is that we need one another. And in a church, we should be able to do that too, to help one another. So which brings us to the third one, is that we are made to fellowship with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this, two are better than one because as they have a good return for their works. And if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. I'm sorry, that's just Ecclesiastes. Apologize, not Ephesians. And so a couple things here that we see about how we ought to we are made to fellowship with others. And in fellowshipping with others, there's two things in that verse it talks about. It says, first of all, it talks about working together. It talks about two workers. When you have a big project, it's always good to have two fulfilling it so that you can get encouragement with one another, you can get assistance with one another, you can work together. Many times in our workplaces and things that we do, two brains are better than one. When we're looking for observation things, two more pairs of eyes helps in looking at certain things. And so in the scriptures, it's very clear. When we work together, we can divide the work and we divide the profits, but we get the work done faster and quicker and easier. And the things that are difficult, like difficult jobs, can be made easier when we have someone to work with. And one can encourage one another, especially when one starts failing to do what they need to do and you have someone to help. And it's wonderful to know that you have a friend who can help you when you have situations. I mean, if, for instance, it's like if Paul himself here had to move this piano. He probably couldn't do it, although maybe he can. I'll have to ask Jen about that later. But if he had a couple other friends to help, like, say, Denny or Lean or Steve or some other people, it probably makes the job a lot easier and it wouldn't break his back, right? In many ways, it helps us the same way. When we need something, we need help, having another person helps us make the job a little easier. And second of all, we find that two are better than one when it comes to walking. In the days of Palestine, a lot of the roads and paths were not paved. They were not level. And so there were a lot of hidden rocks, the little small ditches, and especially trying to walk at night. You couldn't see all those things. But, you know, and so it would not be uncommon for someone who sprained an ankle or broke a leg or things of that nature. And when you walk with another friend, when we walk with other people, then the other person can help you, all right? And even if you have more, that's even better. But the whole point about it was is that I believe the writer was writing saying that, hey, listen, when you walk together, you have someone to help you. And that's key. And it's wonderful to have that. But, you know, not only does it help talk about physical walk, but what about spiritual walk? How many times I know in my life that when I make a mistake and I stumble a little bit, I'm thankful to the Lord that God has always had a friend of mine who's always there to help me. My wife is also a big help to me too. And so the whole point about it, some of us, we need to have friends to help us when we stumble and fall. We may forget to read the Bible. We may forget to pray. We may forget to be doing what we should be doing in our walk, to have a balance in our life, which I talked about before. We have a friend to keep us balanced in our walk. I like what Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 tells us, is that Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's grateful to have Christian friends and Christian brothers, and we need to do that. That was Galatians, right? Okay, so I got my pages mixed up here. Okay, so the most important thing that I want you to get out of this, is that the importance of fellowship is to have a connection with God, communion with God, fellowship with God, love God. But also, too, the second one is that we need to love one another, connect with one another. I mean, we talked about it last week. I'll bring it up again today. Fortunately, some of you guys mixed up, which is great. But the whole point is that how well for you youngsters who know the adults, and adults, how well do you know the youth? Because you know what? We are a church. We are God's children, and we ought to be loving one another. So the question I leave with you this morning is this. Are you satisfied with the relations you have right now in this church? Because if you're not, don't say, well, I'm waiting for them to come to me. It's not. It's, why don't you take this step? Because we're not going to bite. No biting, okay? We're not going to scare off anyone, but to introduce yourself. Get to know the other person. Because they may be, later on, they can help you, and you can help them. And you, that's what a church is about. God is asking us. God is not just asking, he's commanding us to get to know one another. Because, you know, we are part of God's family, especially of all of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior. We are part of God's family. And God wants us to love one another because, you know what? We need to learn how to get along here because we're going to be getting along, well, hopefully we'll get along with each other in heaven for all eternity. So the key thing is this. Whether there's joy, there's sorrow, there's encouragement, there's sadness, we need to be there. But the key thing is we honor God and we love one another. That's what God says. We could talk a lot about it. First John, the book of First John talks a lot about fellowship and how we can fellowship with one another, how we can help one another, how we can build up one another. And that's the key that we should be doing. So let's go ahead and close the prayer this morning. And I hope that if you're not satisfied with the relationships you have in this church, I hope that you'll take the initiative to improve on that because God wants you to do that. Father, thank you for giving us this local church body here in Saratoga. Thank you for the encouragement, the fellowship, the accountability, and the support that this church can give. And our desire, Lord, is to know one another in this church better. It doesn't matter what age it is. It doesn't matter how old we are, where we are in our status. But help us to know one another, Lord. Because, Lord, we are all your children, and your desire is for us to love one another and to build one another up. So, Lord, help us this morning to choose which activity, guide us into the area that you want us, whether it's this time where we're going to be breaking away into the patio time to fellowship, or in our Sunday school classes to get to know one another better, or in our small groups or our yard fellowship group, that, Lord, we will get to know one another, no matter if they're a sixth grader to a 12th grader, whether they're an adult with no kids to adult with many kids, or adults with kids who have already gone away. Lord, help us to know one another, because, Lord, that's what you want us to do. Oneness in Jesus Christ, Lord, that's the key. That's what you want us, and help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking our offering, and if you're visiting with us here, please do not feel obligated to give. This is for our regular tenders who come and give and support the work of